we learn that concepts are not real, but they make a difference.
What do you mean by real?
I mean concepts are not real. Not real. They don't even exist, but they make a difference through object condition. My question is about, because we are learning what is real that can be directly experienced, that cannot be reduced further. But that's why when we know more, the realities has limited numbers. So on the other hand, that which is not real, we call that imagined or concept. So for the concept which are not real, but they make a difference. For example, the Buddha's words are concept representing the truth. So thinking about Buddha's words will make a difference. So that's, I'm a bit confused here. Concept cannot be the result of any conditions, yet it can condition. Yeah.
Just as object, just by being thought about. But if there's no thinking about the Buddha's words, if they're not the object of thinking, what use or what value are they?
And can we say that as long as there's no understanding of the truth of this moment, there's concept after seeing? Seeing cannot have concept because seeing sees an object, a reality. So seeing doesn't have concept as its object. But after seeing, who's here, who's there, and everything comes from the succession of the arising and falling away of seeing, and that which is seen so very, very rapidly. So it condition or form up the image of something to remember as self or thing.
Right. There's many mental processes about a shape and form, and then the sanya give labeling, give the name, and then there's a concept to be thought about. For example, if suddenly I think of an image now, some image is thought about now, but it does not exist. It does not arise and does not pass away. That's where I'm confused from. Then,
no matter how much you think about anything, it's not the exact moment of the regular experience. It, like you can think of seeing when you close your eyes, but the object is not that which is seen when there is seeing. So close your eyes and try to think about everything here. Possible? Is it possible? Okay. Think of Con Jonathan. Close your eyes. It's not exactly like when you see him.
There's a mental image of John sitting there.
Not all. Try to think about him clearly. Don't look at him.
Close the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the limit has still remembered.
Not as clear.
Right.
So no matter how much you think about anything, even in dream, it's not as clear. Like now. That's why we call it a dream. Because no reality appearing in between. To be the difference between dreaming and seeing and thinking. Because dreaming is only thinking, mm-hmm. No direct experience of anything through eyes, ears.
Right.
In the case of the example you gave of understanding meaning from hearing someone speak, concepts are the means by which meaning is conveyed, but the concepts themselves don't contain meaning, do they?
Right.
They are just the mode by which meaning information is provided or understood. It depends on the understanding of the speaker and the understanding of the listener.
Right.
So no amount of concepts can convey understanding.
But they still make a difference. For example, when you hear anatta or you hear a creator.
The Dhamma has to be heard, yes. And hearing the Dhamma involves concepts because that is how information or meaning is conveyed. but they themselves do not contain any meaning.
But they represent, anatta represent the truth, right? The truth.
Sorry, say that again.
Anatta, the word, represent.
Depending on the understanding of the speaker or the listener, it's just a label.
It is a label, but it makes a difference when you hear anatta or when you hear there is a creator.
No difference unless you know what it means. A person who hasn't had it explained is meaningless. The concept itself has no substance at all, either in form or meaning. You only know what you've learned in terms of the concept. So in another language, it means nothing.
Like the word Dhamma in Vietnamese, it means also friends. So you hear the word Dhamma, some people think about friends, and only the people who have heard about the teaching thinks that understands that it's about what is real at this moment.
Talking about information being conveyed verbally, you say the concepts are useful, but what about the hearing? That's more important, isn't it? There has to be hearing in order for something to be heard.
Right, hearing is very important, but the concept being heard is also important to reflect on.
The what?
The thinking about the concepts. It's the thinking about the concepts that is accumulated. It's not the concepts themselves that are accumulated. It's the thinking about those particular concepts that have been remembered. So it could be any word that's used, like Tam's example, or some word like Vedana or Anatta in Thai language, but no understanding at all about the meaning. So it's the thinking wisely about particular terms that we've learnt to associate that is important.
Concepts are necessary not just for hearing the Dhamma, but for living. Mm-hmm. But the question is whether they have a characteristic that can be experienced. When we say they're not realities, what it means is there's no concept to be directly experienced.
Right.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, they are useful.
But we also said they never exist, right? The concept never exists.
Concept is useful, otherwise thinking is useful.
Thinking is real, so...
So what is useful? Concept. Wise thinking.
Yeah, wise thinking is useful, yeah.
So we have to understand better about concept. What is it?
Based on something, then there is
there must
concept.
Be reality, right?
Right.
If there is no reality, there is no concept at all.
Right.
Even right now, you know what is this. You don't have to call or say it in your mind at all.
Right.
Because of the nimitta. Nimitta, the sign, mark of the arising and falling away of visible object.
Conditioned
such shape and form as something all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So concept is moment when it makes known.
Right.
When nimitta. No matter you said, speak out or not,
yep.
Instantly one knows what's what, because of the nimitta, because of the concept of nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no nimitta at all, can there be any concept?
No.
So there must be realities arising and falling away in split seconds. So it forms up the different nimitta images, and then the Panyati makes known of such and such different nimitta.
Yes. But so thinking is very important, and wise thinking is the only thing useful. But after...
Like a dog and cat can know, see, but it cannot listen to the Dhamma.
Right.
When we talk about reality.
Right.
But it knows the color and the shape and form, but it might not know what it's for. For
right.
Eating or not for eating at all?
Yes, but even what it's all about is important, right? Because in between Buddha Sasana, there's no anatta-ness to be thought about.
That's why Buddha is the excellent teacher who could use the right word for anyone to listen and think about. in order to understand that which is hidden from eons and years ago. We are all in darkness, very, very dark. We in darkness now? See? So very dark. Don't have any understanding of whatever appear even right now at all, or even sound or thinking or whatever, because they appear so rapidly, like changing from one moment to another, from this to that all the time. So the citta and cetasika must be more rapid like this than this. So without the light of the word of the Buddha, who can know what is what right now? Because we are in that darkness from eons and eons. Even there is always seeing, hearing, thinking, liking all day, from birth to death, not knowing what's after death. See, yesterday we talked about life after death. Somebody or not anybody, like now. We think about body now, many people, many bodies. But actually, is there anybody now? As there's no body now, there's no body in next life, but there are still conditions for citta and cetasikas to arise on and on. No one can stop its arising at all, even right now.
So when we say object condition, can we also say it's actually nimitta condition?
Just like this life.
Huh?
Just like this life.
You said it's important what we think about, right? What is thought about.
What is thought about is also important.
So what is thought about?
Meaning.
Yes.
Like
not concept. Meaning is different from concept.
Meaning.
Knowledge, understanding is not concept. Concept is it's just the medium in which thinking thinks. But it's the meaning that's important.
Here, meaning, you mean understanding.
Well, even in conventionally, knowledge, for example,
mm-hmm.
knowledge is not the same as concept.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's thinking about things one knows, the thinking is more maybe in concepts. I don't think it has to be all the time in verbal concepts. But that knowledge that's been accumulated is there. And
right.
That's what's important, not the concept.
Right, but without hearing the teaching, the knowledge, the understanding could not increase.
Correct.
So that concept being explained is still important.
No, the meaning of the teaching is important, not the concept by which it's conveyed.
You're trying to say, no one's saying that concepts aren't of any importance, but you're trying to say that the reality conditions the nimitta and that conditions the concept.
Right.
You're saying that concept is conditioned by the nimitta, but concept isn't real. It's not conditioned.
Right. Concept not real, so it could not be the result of any conditioning.
Right.
It's nimitta.
It's just that which is thought about in regard to the nimitta, that's all.
Right.
If there was no nimitta,
right.
There would be no thinking about concepts and meanings. There would be no thinking about, even without words, there would be no impression, no idea about tangerine if there was no nimitta.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that nimitta conditions the word tangerine. It means because of the nimitta, there is thinking about tangerines.
Say, if I see the tangerine and I want to eat it, so it's the imagination, it's the nimitta condition, the desire, right?
Because of the nimitta, there are conditions for thinking with attachment.
Right.
Thinking about attachment, about that color, that impression, and then about that object, about
right.
tangerine. So it's the thinking with attachment that's arises on behalf of, on account of those nimitta, on account of the signs.
Right, on account of nimitta. So when we say object condition,
without thinking, no concepts at all.
So essentially, when we say object condition, can we say it's actually nimitta condition? Is it essentially nimitta condition, or
as aramana? Everything can be conditioned by aramana paccaya.
To be experienced by citta.
So when there's only rupa that cannot experience anything at all, nothing is known. Right?
Right.
Until the reality which arises to experience is there, everything is known little by little, one at a time. For example, what knows or experience the visible object, only visible object. What?
Seeing, experience, visible
seeing
object.
Seeing.
Right.
And the other in the process, right?
Right.
And after seeing process?
Mind
because
or process.
Seeing cannot think about nimitta.
Right.
Because seeing is just one moment, and the many, many moments follow. Until what experience nimitta?
The citta in the mind or process.
And what experience concept?
The citta in the mind or process.
Stage by stage?
Yeah, they are stages by stages. And then the concept is imagined with feature and details.
Of understanding or thinking about. For example, the word, the sound is heard by
hearing.
Uh-huh. Hearing consciousness only, the sound is heard
right.
by hearing. And the nimitta of the sound is heard by?
The mental process.
Thinking.
Thinking, right.
And the understanding of the meaning of concept is through thinking.
Thinking,
or
yes.
Mind. That's all. Now.
Right, but what is heard make a difference?
What is heard?
Yeah, what is her like?
Must be process of ear door.
Could be only mind door only. Could be just recall something heard before.
Do you hear it?
Huh?
At moment of thinking, do you hear the sound?
No.
See?
No.
Different doorway.
All right, different doorway.
Another point you raised as a point of difficulty was that concept is said, it's said that concept doesn't exist.
It's because it's not real. Concept does not exist.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask what you mean by exist or what we mean by exist.
Exist means which could arise and fall away, which has its own characteristic.
Yeah, same as real.
Yeah.
Really.
Right.
So
whatever
now
real is...
They are just
imagined.
Interchangeable terms, really, because only realities have existence.
Right. But also, nimitta has existence, right? Can we say nimitta exists?
What are the absolute realities?
Not including nimitta. But without nimitta, the mind could not function.
Paramada Dhamma, without paramada, can never be nimitta.
Right.
So, seeing consciousness doesn't see nimitta.
Right.
It experiences, or it sees only visible object.
Right.
But who can stop the arising and falling away of citta, which is so rapidly in split seconds? So, it's there all the time. But the moment of experiencing nimitta, what experience nimitta?
Citta. Right.
Through mind or?
Citta experience.
Through mind or?
Yeah, through mind or, right.
Only nimitta?
Right.
And after that, there is pandati of that which is seen at something.
And also about, right?
That is pandati. Pandati.
Yeah.
Makes known that what is there. Seeing cannot know. And in reality, it's so miraculous that only one moment of seeing sees. The citta before seeing cannot perform the function of seeing. It just opened the door for seeing to see.
Right.
And the other cittas which follow seeing cannot see mm-hmm. until the rupa has fallen away.
Right.
For wanka and then on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Just one rupa, can it be nimitta?
Yeah, one rupa, yeah.
Just one, no more, only one.
Cannot have shape and form.
That's right, so no nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
But when there are many, many moments, it conditions nimitta.
Oh, so nimitta only refer to more than just one reality.
So does okay. seeing see nimitta?
No. Okay.
So, do you feel that concepts have a characteristic?
No.
Do you feel that concepts are important?
The concept, yeah, I understand you were saying it's understanding that are important, the meaning, the knowledge. But in between the Buddha's teaching, the time, no concept of anattaness.
Why thinking is useful and important or concept is?
Yeah.
What is?
Shani is saying, is it the thinking that's important or is it the concept or useful?
Think.
Because without thinking, there is no concept.
But without concept, there may not be wise reflection.
Object of seeing. It's object of thinking.
Right. That's why Buddha's teaching is so important. That's the object of thinking.
For wise thinking.
For wise thinking. So when teaching is not available.
Even the word, you can tell anybody and they mistake it, like meditation center.
Yeah.
So, right. Wise thinking is important. Although the object is the same word.
The same concept means different to different people. But for the same person, different concept make a difference, right?
Is it the thinking or the concept that makes the difference?
Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. It's the thinking that makes the difference. But, but again, when Buddha's teaching is not available, then no one hear about anattaness. So when it's Buddha Sasana again, that concept begin to help people to understand more.
But the teaching is not the concept. The teaching is the meaning.
The word is concept.
So the concept may remain. The word anatta may remain, but no one understands its meaning any longer.
Only concept cannot bring any understanding.
Right. But concept as the condition.
As aramana pajya.
Right. That's why I'm confused. If it can be a condition, doesn't that mean it make a difference?
As aramana.
Aramana pachya just means it is the object of citta, that's all. It doesn't do anything at all. Concept doesn't do anything. Visible object doesn't do anything. It's just the object which is experience. So when concept is the object by aramana pachya, it just means it's experienced, nothing else. It doesn't mean that it affects the citta. It doesn't mean that it affects the following citta. It just means it's experienced by that citta. That's the meaning. You're trying to make concept into a reality, give it some significance that it doesn't have, when actually it's just that which is experienced.
As I said earlier, the teaching could remain in, say, in printed form. So all the concepts are there in your terminology, but the understanding of the meaning has been lost.
Right. Many people can read the entire Pitaka in Pali, but without any understanding, it's just meaningless. Like we were talking about chanting yesterday, one can chant the Abhidharma in Pali, but without any understanding, there's no significance, no meaning, no understanding.
Right, but also without hearing, if someone born with the banya root, but never heard about the teaching in this lifetime, there's no way to increase understanding. So that what is heard make a difference.
Meaning of what is heard makes a difference.
But if he never heard about the discussion of Sariputta.
Like Sariputta, Ajahnas.
Right, but Sariputta heard about the teaching. He heard about it, so that's make a difference.
Yes. What words did he hear?
Any of
these words that we're talking about? Any special words?
It's the understanding that appreciate the word. But if the words never happened, never heard by him, how could the understanding increase?
But those words, to us, they wouldn't convey any particular significance.
But to him, it made a difference.
It did. Yes, because of his understanding.
Both. Because if he never, he has the understanding before hearing that. But the word condition, the extra understanding to be enlightened.
The word or the concept, it's not something that stands by itself and waiting for someone to condition understanding.
If he never heard about the word, could he be enlightened?
No one.
Right. Only. So if he never heard about that sentence, he was...
In that life.
Right.
But in previous life...
So what is heard make a difference, right? Not only the understanding.
What about panya? See? What is panya? The word is the same. But the thinking is different.
Yes. That's the most critical part. But
the word itself, just the sound and nimitta of the sound, it depends on what it makes known.
Like a baby learns that pa or papa means or daddy or father, so your child learns that this is daddy or papa, but it could be any word, it's another word in Vietnamese. So it's not that the word is particularly significant, but by hearing again and again that word represents daddy, the child learns that, okay, this is papa, this is daddy, that's all. So it's just the learning, the memory, and thinking about that word, that's all. It's just the object of thinking and memory.
Do you know what pa means? You know? This is panjati. This is the word. Is it?
It's a word, right?
Yeah, just the word.
Yeah. Right.
Just like sound.
Father in Thai. So if you don't know that this means father in Thai, it's meaningless, not of any importance. So that word pa or daddy in itself is of no significance at all. It's just the thinking and memory and association only that gives it significance. So it's just the object of thinking only.
I accept this part. Yeah, that's true. Thinking, while thinking is not the, that's the key. But again, if someone born with roots of panya but never heard about a teaching, there's no increasing of understanding at all. So what is heard about still matter.
What about a snake hearing the word paw? A snake, a bird, a cat, a dog?
It's an image, right? There's a...
If the person you are hypothesizing about hears a statement containing a Dhamma expression, but spoken by someone who doesn't really understand it, it may not be meaningful.
It may be meaningful.
I think doubtful. It's hearing the information from a person who understands it, not just the words spoken.
Right, right.
So if a child were to pick up a Dhamma book and recite something to a person, it may not convey the right meaning.
Right. The condition that we hear the Dhamma from the person who have competent to the true teaching.
So it's the meaning being conveyed, not the concept. The concept is just the means, the medium by which the meaning is conveyed.
Like many of our friends before meeting Achan, they heard already about anatta. They heard about Dhamma, but there was no understanding. But, you know, since they met Achan and our friends here who can explain it in a meaningful way to make the meaning clear, so the understanding of that concept arises. So it's not because of the concept, but because of the understanding. And the concept is just...
Right, so for people who has the same level of understanding, how it's explained make a difference? It's explained by other teacher or explained by Ajahn make a difference?
The word bhavana is the Buddha word. What is it?
Mental development.
How do you know?
I read from, I heard from,
yeah. What about the other who have heard at all? About the meaning of bhavana. What do they think?
They may want to know, right?
No, or?
Maybe they know it means mental development, but what does that mean?
Right. So different levels appreciate differently.
It depends on panya.
Yes.
Which interpret rightly, correctly.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's mistaken.
Exactly. So, for myself, I heard about anatta, and I heard from you explaining anatta. It's different. So, assume I have the same level of understanding, but how it's explained make a difference?
What makes it different is thinking, not the word bhavana.
And it could be another word.
But it could be sunyata, it could be not self, it could be anything. We could use any term. So it's just a word for conveying a meaning, that's all. So it's the understanding of what is represented. Like if we say seeing now is anatta, it doesn't matter what we call it, but it's the understanding of the nature of the reality of seeing that's important, not the term.
But like the tone, because say, the same person speaking anatta, but I have to say the sound from Ajahn, the competence level is much higher when I perceive it.
It's your own development of understanding.
or your own thinking.
But,
yeah.
But
someone else may have another idea for someone else if they hear the word anatta said by a man. It may be a condition for more confidence. So it's the thinking and the understanding about what's heard.
It's not everything. It's part. Yeah, it's true. It's factor. The level of thinking here is a factor. But if my brother told me anatta, it's different impact.
Can I talk about
it? Aramana Kojira. Please.
So, if we're talking about the development of understanding, we know that only some objects, some realities can be the object of understanding. For example, now there is visible object which is seen, and it's very common. Seeing is arising so frequently now while we talk, but is there any understanding of what is seen of the visible object? If there is understanding of visible object now, if it's understood that the world at this moment is that which is visible for an instant, then that visible object is the aramana gochara. It is the suitable object for understanding to arise and accumulate. But if there's no understanding of visible object at all, or if one's never heard that what is seen is just that which is seen, no matter what word is used, then it's not the suitable object of understanding, and that understanding can't be accumulated. Or sound, now it doesn't matter what we call it, but if it's clear that all that is heard is actually sound, no matter what word we call it. There's no hearing of voice or Sarah or Ajahn. It's just sound that is heard. And when it becomes clear that that is the world, that it is just sound that is heard, then it becomes the object, Aramana, that can be the object of understanding. And this is the Aramana Gotra, it becomes the Upanisya Gotra, the object which can be accumulated by understanding to be known more and more.
The word Aramana Gotra, everyone hears. What is it? It's Pali word. So the person who understands Pali can understand what's the meaning of Gotra. Upanisya, Gotra.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is Gotra first? Gotra is another word for Aramana. If you don't know at all, you might try to think out, what is it? What is it? Gotra is a path of buffalo or cow. It's compared to citta, which has to go to the object, but actually it cannot move. But it's conditioned by prasa cetasika to experience that object, like just turn towards that object only. So gotra is another word for aramana, and it's used for development of understanding from the very beginning. Because if we haven't heard the word of the Buddha at all, how can there be the understanding of gotra is just the object which is seen or experienced now, and then think about the meaning later, right?
So need a word first, right?
Actually, it's just the understanding of the object, the reality that can be understood. So it doesn't actually matter whether we call it Aramana or Gotra or object or anything else, because what's accumulated, sometimes people think it's the Gotra or the Aramana that's accumulated, but it's the understanding of that object, no matter what it's called, that has to be accumulated in order for that understanding to grow.
And I also think that you stress on the importance of the word, but I think we can also consider it in a different aspect. Like if someone happens to hear the Buddha's teaching, is it because of the result of karma, not because of the word? So, you know, the word is important, like everyone agrees, in the sense that without the Buddha's teaching, there would be no understanding of realities. But how come someone happens to hear that teaching? That depends on the past accumulations and, you know, the karma.
Right.
Okay. What is Gotra now?
Object, Aramana.
Any object, right?
Any object.
So Buddha thought about all realities. So each
yes.
of his word represent a reality, right?
Represent, right.
But no one who, if someone doesn't have any interest at all in the Buddha's word about Gotra Sampajanya, they just, never mind. No understanding. So can that word condition right understanding? Or the right or wise thinking condition more and more understanding?
Yeah.
Just the same word.
Just the same word. But without that word, it can never kick off.
Without citta and cetasika, which has developed enough or even from the very beginning, but consider wisely. What is needed is wise thinking, not follow
right.
one's own idea as before. But one should have the understanding of the meaning of the Buddha's word clearer and clearer. So just Kojra Sampachanya doesn't mean anything to those who have no interest at all.
Right.
It cannot condition interest.
Right.
So it depends on the accumulation of citta and cetasika.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So.
But that's 100% of everything.
And even if people have a real interest, like many people here have a sincere interest,
right,
but they've never heard about Gotra Sampajanya, does it mean their understanding cannot develop if they don't ever hear those words? No.
No.
Because they can hear words in their own language which are more meaningful. So the language is just to convey a meaning. So even if they never hear any Pali terms, doesn't mean they cannot develop understanding, because it's not the word or the term that's important, it's that understanding. Because we can explain in different ways. I can talk about visible object or that which is seen as being the object of seeing, and then people pay attention because it makes has some meaning to them. If I talk about Gotra, they all switch off because it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we find a way to convey a meaning that is helpful. So it's not dependent on understanding particular Pali terms.
Okay, I'll think about it. Okay.
What is the meaning of Kojra, Upanishya Kojra? See, we just talk about Kojra, another word for object. Why would it use many, many words for just one reality? Because there are many, many degrees like, of understanding. So if one heard once Kojra Sampajanya, no understanding, more and more, a little bit understanding the same word, and more and more, more and more, until it becomes one habit to listen to the teachings of the Buddha. See, so the Kojra Sampajanya means the aramana which will lead to understanding and become enlightened, the truth of whatever appears now, not other aramana.
Sampajanya means understanding, so it means the understanding of an object, Gotra. Like in the Satipatthana Sutta, it talks about four Sampajanyas, Gotra, Sampajanya, the understanding of the object, which leads to the development.
Understanding. One would like to hear it more and more, would like to understand it clear and clear, until it is Upanishya Kojra, which means the habit.
Accumulation of the understanding of those objects. So it becomes as much a habit as seeing with attachment is now.
There is no such habit like this. We never develop right understanding at all, because it has to begin from hearing the right word about reality and consider it until it's one's own understanding. So one never think about other kojra as important as hearing and understanding the teachings. Otherwise there cannot be higher degree until leading to the understanding reality right now as it is, as what one has heard. Any question about Upanishya Kojra?
Ask your question about samadhi and samatha, or more about Upanishya?
Yeah, but
I have no question on sorry.
Why don't you raise the question, the topic we discussed in the car yesterday, because it would be helpful.
I just it's some comment that in when I read the purification of the Buddha Gosta, and I see that he put a very big part for the samadhi. It's a very big soul here. I think that is very important, the samadhi. But today, the last day of the Dhamma discussion in Saigon, Sarah and John explained about the everyone would like to have samadhi, but in fact the condition for the samadhi to arise is the first condition is we have to have much more kusala first in the daily life, so that through the daily life and the kusala in daily life, you could have the calmness. In fact, the samadhi, the most characteristic, important characteristic of samadhi is calmness, and everyone would like to have the calmness. And the calmness is different than the silence. And then in daily life, when we have the kusala, we could have the calmness go along together. So before to practice to have the samadhi, we should understand what we would like to have first before to go practice. So I just appreciate what Sarah and John already explained at the last session about that, because before that I just wonder why the Venerable Buddha Gosa paid too much attention to samadhi, but now I think that is I understand what it is. Yeah.
Okay, but kojira sampasanya upanisya kojira. For example, what word is about a Buddha that you just talked about? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone here more enough to understand what samadhi is? Otherwise, it's not the word of the Buddha, which is kojira, upanisya. Kojira is object, and kojira is the habits, the accumulation, to see the value of understanding each word of the Buddha carefully, very carefully, because so very deep. You see that before Buddha's enlightenment, the world is so dark, just right now. There were people in the Buddha's time who developed samatha with right understanding, but no understanding of what the Buddha taught, because there's no enlightenment of the Buddha yet, right? So the difference between samadhi before the time of Buddha and samadhi after his teachings, are they the same?
So you mean before the Buddha enlightenment, people already understand exactly what samadhi is, like a dhamma, but don't know
then what samadhi is at a level.
What level you mean?
At that moment, there's no akusala at all of the sensuous object. Because the person who develops samadhi must have right understanding, seeing the danger of clinging to sensuous object every day. So that ignorance and attachment and other defilements. So that person must be very wise to see what condition akusala, and know how, what object, which cannot lead to attachment to sensuous objects. Not just read. One of our friend in Thailand went to the seaside, just to concentrate on the color of sunrise.
Ajahn asked a question which you were pondering, I think. Samadhi taught after the Buddha's enlightenment and samadhi as understood before the Buddha's enlightenment, are they the same?
And samadhi of today.
And samadhi of today.
So, it's not the Dhamma, so it's different. It's because before the Buddha enlightenment, people... that's what I suppose, that people know that the kusala could take samadhi, could have calmness, but don't know that it's the dhamma. And also they don't know that is samadhi is arise condition, but they think that they could make it happen, like, but it's based on the accumulation of doing kusala. So they have samadhi, they have calmness, but they think that it is their self could create that. They don't understand that is based on their condition, accumulation. I guess that's...
When a kusala arises like attachment or aversion, does anyone know? Why not? It's a very daily life. But it's I and me who just want other object, not the object of sensuous subject as before, but ignorance there. Who can tell about that seeing is not self, hearing is not self, lopa attachment is not self, dosa is not self, all adhammas, even the dhamma is not known as not self. But realities arise and falls away from eons and eons ago, unknown at all, in darkness. So people just think about samadhi, because there was samadhi developed by many people in the old days before the Buddha enlightenment. But nobody knows what is samadhi.
So why does one
want to have samadhi?
I think they would like to have calmness. They would like to don't...
They don't know what calm is. They just want to have something pleasant for themselves.
Yeah. They would like to have pleasant feelings.
Instead of clinging to my pleasantness, my pleasant feeling. So it's the way of clinging and ignorance, where the path of the Buddha leading to enlightenment must be the path beginning from understanding, and then it brings more about detachment because of more and more understanding. So it's not the teachings of the Buddha at all, that way. Because you see that not knowing what samadhi is, but still wanting samadhi. While Buddha taught us what is samadhi, is there now? Who can not make it rise?
First thing, my question is, it is samadhi is important?
Samadhi, there are Mitcha Samadhi as well. Only right understanding know what's right and what's wrong. Ignorance cannot know.
Yes, so...
Is kusala important?
It brings some... How can I say the pleasant feeling too? But in term of understanding, no. And yes, kusala could bring. Okay, so how can I say kusala could bring the could create condition to.
And the kind of calm that you're talking of that is the high levels of calm. Is it easy?
I don't think that it's easy.
So, if it's not, if it's important but not easy, then it needs explanation before it, before its development.
Yes. Yes, I.
You said the Visuddhimagga places a lot of importance on samadhi, right?
Yeah.
What sort of importance do you mean? Do you just mean the number of pages in the book?
Yes, I think he made a lot of effort to write everything in many,
so it's just the number of pages.
Yeah. I wonder why he.
Yeah.
Because.
But what is Visuddhi and what is Magga?
So Magga, the path, Visuddhi of purification. So whatever we read in the text, in the Visuddhimagga, or in any text that the Buddha taught, it is about the path of purifying the mind, purifying the mind and eradicating unwholesomeness. So if we read about sila, or we read about samadhi, it is in the light of purification. It is the development of wholesome sila with understanding. It is about the development of wholesome samadhi with understanding of realities as not self. Because if it's not with the understanding of realities as not self, it's not leading to any purification. The attainment of jhanas doesn't lead to purification without understanding of realities as not self. So whatever is developed, whatever arises, it has to be understood as Dhamma, as an element that is not self. So even now there is concentration at each moment. And can that concentration be the gochara or the aramana, the upanisya gochara, only if that is the development of understanding of that reality, of that concentration or whatever reality it is as not self. Otherwise it cannot be the upanisya gochara, it can't be the development of purification.
I think that today a lot of people also based on the number of pages about the samadhi part of Visuddhimagga and think that it's something that we should have and do before Vipassana.
A better thing to consider would be what the Visuddhimagga says about the importance of samadhi. Not the number of apart from the number of pages, but what does it say about the importance of samadhi? Yeah, well, most people don't bother to read that far in the book. They just look at the beginning and the number of pages. But there is a section that you might be interested to look at in the Visuddhimagga. It talks about the advantages of samadhi, of developing samatha. But then in order to really understand the significance of that, you need to also compare it with the section that talks about the advantages or the benefits of panya, insight. And then you will see the relative importance of those two things. Not regardless of the number of pages, regardless of how great it sounds to be a person that has calm. Perhaps some homework for you before the next session.
And that reminds me of what we discussed yesterday about how meditation center destroyed the Buddha's teaching. Also in the sense that they encouraged everyone to practice and not studying the teaching. And that is very common today that they just say, okay, practice to get the samadhi. And then you can have the vipassana jnana. And don't go to the text, don't read too much, or don't talk.
session yesterday, I gave our friend Sal an example. If I'm a kind friend and my friend would like to go to Ho Chi Minh City, then if I'm a good friend, I show them the bus at the bus station and put them on the right bus to Ho Chi Minh City. And if instead I were to put them on the bus to Hanoi, even though I'm a kind friend, maybe I buy them a free ticket and I give them some nice food to have along the way, and even though they will have some benefits like seeing beautiful scenery on the way to Hanoi, actually they're going in completely the wrong direction. So it doesn't mean there's not some nice food and some nice scenery along the way, but I'm actually not helping my friend at all, because even though I may be acting very kindly, I'm sending them in completely the wrong direction. And it's the same with the teachers at the meditation center. They may seem very kind, they may offer beautiful food, but if they are telling you not to read the text and not to really study what it says in the Visuddhimagga, but just to go and concentrate, and that you have to go and practice and select a part of the body first, actually it's not a good friend, because it's sending you in completely the wrong direction. So this is what is meant by the right path and the wrong path.
Bastin, I totally agree that before doing anything, we have to understand very clearly what it is. Like, we have to clearly understand what is it before starting to any matters. But my question is then that after the theoretical understand of what it is, we should follow some method to practice or not, because Buddha Gosa already raised a lot of methods, of subject to attain that. So what does it mean on that sense?
Well, you said after we understand theoretically what it is, then
clearly,
the practice.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that. Each bit of theoretical understanding helps the actual development. It's the same with understanding. It's not a question of, okay, let's learn about what all the dhammas are, and once we know that, then we practice. But as there is intellectual understanding of different dhammas or different types of kusala, that itself is a condition for the beginning of the development of that kind of kusala, that understanding. The development of samadhi or samatha begins with understanding the first bit, for example, of how it's different from awareness and insight, or that it is a moment of calmness, or, for example, that it is for the person who appreciates the danger of kusala, sees the danger in kusala. And these little bits of information can be a condition for the understanding we talked about, as kusala does arise in daily life, of understanding the moment of kusala as kusala. But it's not that the theory is one thing, and once you've learnt that, then you go on to the practice. It's a continuous for the whole of the development of samatha or insight. It's all about better intellectual understanding, conditioning deeper actual understanding.
Kojara Upa Nisaya Sampachanya. This is the beginning of the other understanding. Is it interesting?
But what does it mean?
Sampajanya is another word for panya, like in the Satipatthana Sutta we read about the development of sati sampajanya. This means the development of sati and panya. So sampajanya is another word for panya. And gotra like Ajahn gave an example of Gotra about the cow in its pasture or field. This is one meaning, but it means the pasture or the object of citta, where the object, the citta, is roaming around at this moment. So Gotra means the same as aramana or object. So visible object is the Gotra of seeing. Now, what is the Gotra of understanding? Visible object, sound, hearing, confusion. Confusion even is a reality now. Confusion can be the Gotra of Panya or Sampajanya. And the object or the Gotra that becomes the habit, the repeated habit of understanding, maybe confusion. Maybe there's some understanding that confusion is just a reality now, not self. There can be understanding of that reality, confusion, or visible object, or sound, or doubt. Doubt is a reality. And by understanding that the nature of that reality is just a Dhamma, it can be a condition for more understanding to develop in future. So it's not the word doubt or confusion, but the understanding of that actual reality, the characteristic of that reality itself, as represented by that word, that can be accumulated. And this is Upanisya Gotra, and it has to develop on and on. So it's like talking about the development of Pariyatti, or right understanding of those objects that can condition more understanding in future, but without any selection.
So, Sun, does the section on samadhi in the Visuddhimagga help you to understand what are the moments of kusala that arise in daily life now?
No.
But they are the precondition, right, for developing the higher levels of samadhi that is discussed in that work. Right?
I don't know.
Well, if one doesn't know what is kusala and what is not kusala now, yes, in daily life, how can there be any higher development like mentioned in that section?
Without panya, should one develop samadhi?
No.
So it's attachment, just want to have samadhi, not the development of panya with samadhi at all. So again, I think that the term...
You said that without panya is no need to develop samadhi, but it is that samadhi could have the panya could be firmer or something?
Hoping, wishing. All the time, but it's not kojara, upanisya kojara. Even just the word, very small word like only upanisya kojara sampachanya. Again, just one word, sampachanya. Sampachanya means right understanding. Without the light of the word of the Buddha, of his teaching, one is always in darkness. No matter one is sitting, chanting, whatever one does, there's no understanding of the truth of that very moment at all. So, sampajanya is right understanding of the object, which means the word of the teachings. This is all about realities right now. Otherwise, no one can understand Dhamma. Just talk about Dhamma, listen to Dhamma, practice Dhamma. But what is Dhamma? So now, Dhamma is whatever is real, whatever. Seeing is real, is a Dhamma. Hearing is real, is Dhamma. So, upanisaya, habits. Until it becomes one habit, not listen to the other people at all, but only to the Buddha's word, which is very, very deep and subtle. Who's he and who am I and who we are? Shall we just think about it with one's own idea it must be wrong. Each word should be clarified and explained a lot in order to become one's habits to see the value of the words of the Buddha. That's why it conditioned more interest in listening, considering, understanding the truth of the words of the Buddha. Not just follow sila, samadhi, panya, but what are they? No idea at all, or wrong understanding. Because there are wrong path, wrong eightfold path, and right eightfold path. If Buddha didn't teach us about this, how can we understand it now? It's wrong path, not the right path. So upanisya, habits. Kojana, listening to the words of the Buddha, because the other's word cannot bring about any understanding of the truth at all. And now we have such habits, listening first, and seeing the value of each word, that it should be respectfully studied. Like samadhi should be respectfully studied, not just, oh, I know what samadhi is. It's not like that. It's not as easy as that, because it's the Buddha's words about samadhi and everything. Kojara is object of panya, is the word of the Buddha. Becomes one's own habit to hear and to consider and to understand. If there is no understanding at all, how can there be samadhi, sammasamadhi, and so on? The word which is not the word of the Buddha will lead to attachment and ignorance, no matter how long one practices. So first of all, there should be the kojara, upanisya kojara, the object of the Buddha and all the monks and lay people who have confidence in the teachings of the Buddha.
Is it the level of
prana? No, I mean another word for aramana, because aramana can be aramana of akusla, aramana of wrong path. Aramana is just object, which is the object which citta experiences, that's all. Only the words of the Buddha should be the habitual listening to, not other people.
Say it means something like appropriate object.
Right. The best.
The habit to listen. But that habit is at the level of chanda.
Habit of understanding the object of right understanding of reality, the habit of understanding what can be the object of understanding now. Getting used to visible object as the reality that is seen. Getting very used to sound as that which is heard. Getting used to sanya or memory as a mental factor, not my memory. So getting used to the realities in life, not what we're used to thinking. We're used to thinking that we see water bottles and cups. Getting used to visible object as that which is seen. It's the reality now, just the world of visible object.
Can you say that, for the people who haven't had much chance to listen to the teaching, so when they hear the words like seeing, hearing, they just walk away. They don't have the interest. But if they hear a little bit more and consider a little bit more, then it starts to get into their mind, and then, you know, later, little by little, there's more understanding of the words, and then it becomes the object, the habitual object of understanding. Kuchara upanisaya sampajana.
Beginning, when they hear about visible object as being that which is seen, or sound, which is that which is heard, they think it's, even if it's true, that it's not interesting, or it's not relevant to daily life, or it doesn't help them have more calm, or it doesn't solve their problems at work, or it doesn't help them earn more money, so they don't see it of being any interest. But when there is more understanding that this is life, that there really is just visible object that's seen now, sound heard now, then it becomes more meaningful. And like when I spoke to Chong the other day, when it becomes clear that actually this is the truth of life, the opposite of the fantasy life we're used to living in, then it becomes a bit more meaningful, and they begin to understand why we need to hear more about the realities. Otherwise, in the beginning, it doesn't seem of any significance. But now when we begin to hear the second time or the third time or the fourth time, the importance or the value of really knowing that there are just these realities in life, no self at all, it becomes more meaningful. Is that right, John? I want to ask your friend beginning with L. Lek? Lok?
Lok.
Because Lok has been coming several times and writing a few notes. So I know that when he hears more about these realities like visible object or sound, I know it's becoming more meaningful. It's becoming more of a habit to study and understand more about these dharmas in daily life. So is it more interesting to hear about life at this moment and visible object that is seen now, only sound that is heard now, not?
Yeah, it's more interesting.
And why is it more interesting now than when you came the first time with Chong when we were here last time?
Because the more I listen, the more I know about the truth of life.
So the first time it doesn't really seem that it's relevant to the truth of life, but now you hear more and consider more, so it's clearer that it's about the truth of life. So we can see the beginning of Upanisya Gochara with these objects like visible object and sound, because of hearing about them and considering the relevance to life at this moment. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Why do we have to, excuse me, why is there the Gochara, Upanisya Gochara, why not just Gochara? What is Gochara first?
Object.
Any object, right?
Yeah.
But this is Upanisya Gochara, must be different from other object, because it has the word Upanisya, the habitual, becoming habit. Upanisya Gochara. So that Gochara should become the object, which is one's own habit to understand it. Different from other aramana, because it's the way leading to more understanding, to purify kilesa and to understand reality right now. Without these habits, there's no habit to listen to the Gochara of the Buddha. Because sometimes we call this the Buddha's Gochara, not the other subject object.
So Ajahn asked, what is the difference between Gochara object and Upanisya Gochara, habitual object? So what is it that makes the difference? What makes an object become an habitual object in this context?
Well, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, it's the understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is developed. So as understanding develops, and it has to start at the very beginning, but if there's a little bit of understanding about what is the right object for understanding, is it table and people, or is it seeing and visible object, hearing and sound, etc., then gradually the object can become an habitual object. So that indicates that some understanding has been developed, and that is a condition for more understanding to develop in the future.
Be the habitual kodra?
Chanting?
Yes.
No, because there is no understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't depend on the word. It depends on understanding each word. Then understanding develops when it becomes one's habit to listen more, understanding more. Not just sit and concentrate without any understanding. That is not the teachings of the Buddha. Yeah, kodra.
That is also like the development from pariyatti to patipatti and pativeda.
Because you just talk about aramana.
It also talks about how this upanisya gotra, the understanding of the objects of understanding that are accumulated, leads to all kinds of wholesomeness, including calm and right concentration, all kinds of wholesomeness, and in turn leads to the direct understanding of realities. But today many people would like to go somewhere and have direct understanding of realities, but without the upanisya gotra, without the habit of really carefully considering and understanding these realities, which, as Locke said, are the truth of life, it cannot lead to the direct understanding of those realities.
About upanisya gotra?
Yes, because in general, most of the people, it's the other way around. The gotra is the wrong view, right? And at that time, it is the, for example, God created the world. Is this the aramana, or is the pleasant feeling the aramana, or the citta is the aramana? I mean,
aramana is the object of citta, no matter what kind of citta.
Yes. So, I mean, for people who do well in the wrong view, and they keep dwelling because it accompanied my pleasant feeling.
We can say that is not the upanisya kodra. Something there, because upanisya kodra is the kodra of Buddha.
Oh, already by definition has to be, okay.
Kodra can mean object, any object.
Right.
So thinking wrongly about any ideas, those ideas are kodra of wrong view. But if we use the word upanisya kodra, it only refers to the development of understanding the objects which are understood rightly.
Okay. But for people who do well in the wrong view, is the wrong view itself keep being thought about, or actually is the pleasant feeling, is the aramana?
Wrong view is being accumulated about that object. There's more and more wrong view about that idea. So whenever that wrong view arises, it accumulates, and the wrong view always arises with attachment.
Oh, the citta that just fall away with wrong view and pleasant feeling could be the object.
I think you're talking about the two different things. One thing is that when there is wrong understanding, which, for example, leads to wrong practice. For example, there is wrong understanding that I can collect energy or I can focus on an object. That wrong thinking or that wrong view accumulates, and that's why it's dangerous, and that's why it's dangerous to follow a practice, because the more one thinks like that, the more habitual it becomes, just like the right understanding becomes habitual. So the wrong understanding becomes habitual and leads further and further down the wrong path in the wrong direction. But
if there is right understanding arising now, right understanding can understand whatever reality appears. So the object of right understanding can be visible object or seeing or confusion or doubt or even wrong view. So there can be understanding of wrong view. If there is no understanding of wrong view, that wrong view can never be known, can never be understood, can never be eradicated. So it's only when it arises and it's understood that the harm of wrong view can be known. Otherwise, it's just thinking about it, known like any other reality. Talking about Upanisya Gotra, wrong view can also be the object, the Gotra of Upanisya Gotra, that so there becomes more and more the habit of understanding and recognizing that wrong view when it arises, so that gradually there will be less wrong view in life.
Objects are there?
Countless. Endless. One at a time. How many kind? Oh, six kind? Okay.
How many?
Huh? How many kind? Six kind. Yeah.
So what is Banda?
What is?
Which kind is Banda? Bandati? Which kind?
The to the mind door.
Right. Not like visible object, sound, and so forth.
No.
Mm-hmm. So the citta which experiences sight, which experiences visible object, is different from that which hears about the truth.
Yes. Right.
At the moment of hearing the truth, the object is sound.
Right.
And the nimitta.
Yes.
And then right understanding.
Right.
Becomes habits.
Yes.
Little by little.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Becomes habit yet? Or it had to be more than that once?
And the development of the habit is conditioned by hearing the word. But the word conveys the meaning.
What? Yep.
So hearing the word is not sufficient. The meaning has to be understood.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the first question I want to ask you, why do we need to cut the last time to allow more peace, like the moment? I want to ask that. Yes. So, why do we need to cut the lifetime to a lot of small peace. Yeah. Yes, divide. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we need to say that what is touched is not a table but only hardness at this moment? Or why do we say that what is seen now are not a whole lot of people wearing different colors but just visible object? What is true at this moment? At this moment, is there a whole lifetime or is there just one moment? Question. Like all the experiences that happened yesterday and the thinking about the different sights and the journey up to Dala and the food. Is that all happening now, or was it all happening yesterday? Is it now, or has it gone?
It's gone.
Gone.
It's gone.
And what about what you ate for breakfast, or what about when you were coughing earlier? Is it now, or has it gone?
It's gone.
Completely gone.
Yes. Well,
the question you asked a moment ago, is it now, or has it gone?
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone. What was seen a moment ago? Is it now or is it gone?
It's gone.
It's gone. And what
will be eaten at lunchtime or seen at lunchtime. Is it now or is it in the future?
It's the future.
Yeah, so actually there's only ever this moment. So when we talk about lifetime, we're talking about so many experiences in the past, so many experiences in the future. But actually there's only ever one experience at a time at this moment. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, correct.
So actually life is only at this very moment, just the seeing now, or the hearing now, or the thinking now, or the touching now, just for a moment, and then completely gone, never to come back. So we talk for convenience about this life of 70 years or 100 years or last life. If anyone can remember it, I'm sure they can't. But actually, in truth, there is only one moment of life at a time, followed by another moment and another moment. So this is why we say, citta arises alone and falls away alone. Just one citta after another throughout life. And the last citta of this life will be followed by the first citta of the next life. So really, life is just a, lifetime is just a conventional term. Just like person or body or table are conventional terms, useful concepts, as Vincent would say. But in reality, there is just citta arising and falling away, followed by another one. So it's not a matter of we breaking it up. It's a matter of beginning to understand what the truth of life is at this very moment.
What can be understood now? I think the answer is only what is happening or what is real at the present moment. What can be directly known right now? Can the past or future be directly known now?
Okay. At this moment, it just see, hear, see is hearing. Thinking.
What you call separating the life into lifetime into different moments is one way of explaining it. But in fact, what we are doing is understanding or talking about what can be directly known at the present moment. That's all.
Yes. Yes. So, I want to know. So, why we need to divide this? So, divide this for what? For to promote myself or to understand about the lifetime for what?
How can you divide? They answer credit already.
It's just the truth of life that we don't know unless we hear the Buddha's teaching. The truth, and we don't know about it, and that is ignorance. So that's why we hear about the truth of life, which actually each moment.
And it's not just to believe, but to consider whether it's right or not. Nobody can do that. It's the way it is.
So what is different about the person who don't know about the truth and the person now about the truth?
What knows the truth? Who or what knows the truth?
Like you know about the truth of the lifetime.
Understanding. We talk about what is real. It is understanding that knows the truth. Just like it is thinking that thinks about what is seen. It is seeing that sees visible object. It is hearing that hears sound. It is understanding that understands the truth.
So is it better to go through life in ignorance and wrong view, or is it better to go through life developing a little more understanding? Is it better to be blind, like with blinkers over our eyes, or is it better to see clearly and understand? So this is just the question to consider.
Yes, see clearly better, yes. Of course.
Want to confirm about Gochara and Aramana. Exactly, they are the same. But for Gochara, when you mentioned something as the habitual it's become, you have to develop understanding, and it become habitual, so we call it Upanisaya Gochara. So why can we say also Upanisaya Aramana?
You can call it anything you like. It's the understanding that's important, not the terms. So just the Gochara means Aramana, but in this particular context, it refers to Upanisya Gochara, but you can say Upanisya Aramana. It's the understanding that's important. And the Upanisya is the same as in the condition, Pakatu Upanisya Pachya. So it's the accumulation that is being referred to, the decisive accumulation, in this case, referring only to the decisive accumulation of understanding. You can call it anything else if you prefer, it's okay too. But this is what it's referred to here.
I think what you ask is similar to what Vincent asked at the beginning. It's, for example, I give example if it's a right or not. Even that the same word that Buddha already told, but it's lead to direct different direction. For example, we talking about, we do the same word, but it's point to the right understanding. But maybe in another place with the same word, but it's lead to the wrong direction. So I think the most important is the direction or the reality that we try to, about the understanding about reality, but it's not about the word. It doesn't play any important about understanding the reality. Yes, the more important is the reaction or what is point to. For example, I change you different word, but it's also it just explain about the reality.
There are two words, Aramana, right? And Upanisya, when we talk about Aramana Upanisya, right? Two words. And what about the Aramana Tipati? Now we're talking about difference between different level of Aramana. Not just Ramana, because when you talk about Aramana, it's ordinary object of citta, whatever. Nibbana is Aramana, everything is Panjanti is Aramana. Whatever citta experiences is the object, the Aramana of citta. So when we talk about Aramana Tipati, another kind, you remember that? Aramana Tipati? There are many objects now. Which one is Aramana Tipati that you like to have it? We just talk about object. Just one word, object is object. Citta. That one is that which is more than the other because it is great enough for you to be attached to. So the object itself is Aramana Tipati when you like to have it. And hearing the teachings, can it be Aramana Tipati? For Kusala Citta? For Panya? Rather than othering else, rather other object. So it is Aramana Tipati for Kusala. And Nibbana is Aramana Tipati for Citta which realize it. So great, different from other objects. And at moment when there is the accumulation, the habit of listening or liking that, it becomes the Upanisya, the citta, which likes it, accumulate on and on. For example, what color do you like? Better than others, see? What color do you like? anything. Some might like blue, some might like white, see? That is the Upanisya Pachya. It becomes one's own habit to like it, that object which is Aramana Tipati. So the Upanisya Gochara, see, who learn to understand the value, the most precious thing in one's life, that is the Upanisya begins to develop. And the object is not other thing but the words of the Buddha. And not just to chant, but to understand. Because it doesn't have any meaning when one just chant without any understanding. So it has to begin from here, so that it can continue on to other kind of gochara.
In the beginning, is not the gochara is not depends on the meaning of the word, or the
meaning. No change. Gochara must be only object. Can citta be object? Yes. Everything can be object of citta. So gochara means object, aramana, only that. And then we have other word like with it, like upanisya gochara. It has more meaning than just gochara or aramana. Just one word at a time. Aramana, object of the citta, which experience it. And when it is gochara, it's just some, not all, not every. It had more meaning.
We say upanisaya gochara. It refers only to the Buddha's words. But when we talk about aramana tipati, it can be object for lobha as well as for kusala. Yeah. Like yesterday, we were having the cake for Sila Kunzila's birthday. And the cake was delicious, so we just kept eating it again and again. So that was at that time.
And you would like to have it today or tomorrow or at the time too, as upanisaya.
And I have a good example too, because like we were saying, maybe when we first hear about seeing an invisible object, we don't really like to hear about it. Or it's not very interesting, and certainly it's not the upanisya gochara, the object of understanding. We think, why did our friends bother to bring us to hear what the Buddha said, just to hear about seeing an invisible object, and it's very boring. But gradually we become more and more interested. And it's a bit like if you give a teenager some Vietnamese coffee in the beginning, it tastes very bitter, and they think, why do all these adults drink it? And it's like one of our Thai friends, at first it may taste a little bit bitter, but then she drinks a little bit more and a little bit more, and then she becomes addicted and can't sleep at night, and it suddenly becomes the aramana dipati, the very desired object that is, and the object, the aramanupanisya, the object that is accumulated as object of attachment more and more and more. So it's the same with understanding realities. It has to be accumulated, so it becomes more and more the object of understanding, and so till it's the aramana dipati, the dhamma or understanding.
So now, is the word samadhi be the upanisya gochara? Or leave it?
The word gochara, yes. Or maybe right, because maybe for the first time we listen to the word samadhi, it doesn't make sense, but gradually when we listen more and more, it can become the upanisaya gochara.
Actually, at the first days of discussions, people are not so much attentive. Like they stand up a lot and get around and drink coffee. But then, you know, on the second day and third day, they become very attentive. And then at the end of the session, they say, oh, it's already over, something like that.
If there's no interest yet about samadhi, there will never be the upanisya gochara to understand what samadhi really is.
Very briefly, because I think there's still some confusion about the terms samatha and samadhi. So samadhi is ekagata chetasika, concentration,
and there is concentration at every moment of life, one-pointedness. Why does citta just experience one object? Why does seeing only experience one object? Because ekagata, chetasika, concentration, focuses on one object. So there cannot be any experience in life, even when we're rushing around and not paying attention at all or totally distracted at each moment. There is concentration, one-pointedness, focusing on the object at each moment in life. And concentration can arise, does arise with both kusala and akusala cittas. So concentration can be wholesome or unwholesome. Usually the concentration we're familiar with in a day, like when we're focused on cutting up the fruit or focused on writing our notes or making a telephone call, usually it's a wrong concentration, because it's concentration with attachment. So the concentration that we recognize in a day, it's mostly wrong concentration. But there can be right concentration with moments of kusala, not by trying to have it, but naturally, whenever kusala arises, concentration is right. So concentration is one thing that can be kusala, akusala, vipaka, or kiriya. And another chetasika is calm, or pasadi chetasika. Calm only arises with kusala, it doesn't arise with akusala chetasikas. So when focusing on cutting up the apple with ignorance or attachment, no calm at those moments. So actually when we talk about the development of samatha leading to jhana, it's a development of calm. But samasamadhi, right concentration, is developed with it. And when we're talking about the understanding of realities, vipassana bhavana, there is the development of calm at each moment with those moments of right understanding of reality. And this is a higher calm, because it's accompanying the understanding of realities as not self. So just to mention that samatha and samadhi are two different things. Usually, like in the context Sun's talking about of samadhi in the Visuddhimagga, of course in this context it's just referring to right concentration. But just so we know, there is concentration at every moment, right or wrong.